to a special edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. This is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemesley.
We are at the Urban Saloon in Philadelphia for a special Pandora get-together. And I think it's a wise move to mention the sponsor, Budweiser Select, since we are sampling the product as we speak. Hopefully that won't come out in the podcast. But it's early in the night, so we'll see how this recording goes. We're just going to set the iRiver to record and see what happens. Hopefully we'll get to talk to some Pandora folks and some people who use Pandora on an everyday basis.
There seems like there's a lot of people here, too. I mean, most of them are probably here for Pandora. I don't know what the normal amount of activity in the Urban Saloon is, but...
But it seems like the party's starting, so we'll check back a little later on.
Yes, so John and I ventured out on a snowy Wednesday night, December 5th, and went to the Urban Saloon in Philadelphia for a Pandora get-together sponsored by Bud Select. And it didn't take us long to find our first interview subject. Shortly after we started recording, we ran into John S. James, the editor and publisher of the AIDS Treatment News. But John is also a computer programmer and an open source advocate. He has an idea that may have implications for the online music industry.
I'm here for a particular project as well.
Oh, really?
That you might be interested in. I publish a medical newsletter as my day job. I used to be a computer programmer.
What do you like to program in?
Forth, mostly. You know what Forth is?
I'm not a programmer, but I appreciate the work that they do.
Yeah. I was looking for better ways to distribute my newsletter, which sometimes a big organization would buy and they want to sub-distribute it to their units and so on. That because I was a one-person business at that time, I didn't want to have to do all the work, so I wanted to give them a way to do it. What came out of this after about 2 years of thinking of design and so on was what looks like a better way of e-commerce. And the key is to allow online financial accounts to reproduce. That is to make a copy of themselves, more or less a copy of themselves with a different account name that the owner can then distribute as the owner wishes. And they can reproduce so you can get family trees. Anyway, this means that accounts can inherit any number of settings that can control automatic actions and such.
Circuits talking about Firefox and various open source.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, I'm glad we made the
just not being activated anymore because it's been nullified.
Yeah, if this is turns out to do the whole thing, I saw one headline that said it's considered like one big step, but that it wasn't the end of the issue. Is that
right? Well, cancer being the fact that cancer in some cases has to be introduced into the process. They say that that's not a show-stopping event, but because cancer is necessary at some stage for some of those stem cells to be created, it's a dangerous solution.
You know, like immortalizing the stem cells, I guess, yeah. Cancer is sometimes called neoplasm, and I'm not up on the details, but I understand the reason is...
Are you up on the details?
Yeah.
I understand the reason for that is that it's believed that some cancers are like cells that were kind of left over from the embryo that have taken on, become activated somehow, start growing in the adult.
The next person to wander over to our table was Chris McGrew, who does some video work for Pandora, and is also the drummer for the band Griddle, which also includes Kevin Seal, the host of the Pandora Presents podcast. John and I talked at length with Chris about his artistic experiences, Pandora, and many other topics related to technology and the arts.
I didn't even know.
next, say, 10 years, do you think that there was a threshold before that has been lowered so that more people could get into the production artistic work?
Nobody knows any of the bands I've been in. Nobody's ever paid me to make a recording, but I've been on 13 records. So that by itself, that story by itself lets you know that things are changing in the music business, and it doesn't, you don't have to necessarily meet a big producer to create and to express yourself, you know.
It's become a democratic process.
You know, 10, 15 years ago, to make a CD was prohibitively expensive. So, you know, it has changed a lot. And, you know, I was making cassettes in the early 90s.
Right.
You know, cassettes are not really a legitimate medium for releasing. It's just a terrible technology. And it's only good for sharing music. It was never really very good as a distribution mechanism, I don't think, you know.
Well, that brings us into the discussion about DRM. I mean, one of the ways that cassettes have had a sort of starring role in audio history is the fact that it's one of the things where if we wanted to share music with somebody, cassettes were the way that we did it, because you can always hit record on that player, and there was no getting in the way of that. And we're still doing that today. I mean, when we hit the record button on Audacity for what you hear, we can record whatever it is that's coming out of our speakers, and that's an easy way to bypass DRM.
Yeah. This whole intellectual property question is that achieve professional quality sound without spending more. I mean, we haven't spent more than $5,000, including replication costs and artwork, on any of our records.
And, I think that those tools are available now. Where, I mean, regardless, you can really use a solid quality studio setup and integrate the smallest quality recording and amplify it and digitize it so that you can really amplify some little like crumpling paper or something so that you can make it a really rich sound. Possibly use crumpling paper as the basis for a cymbal or something. I mean, you can do something really crazy.
Dylan, I mean, you name it, he's, you know, all across
John and I continue talking with Chris McGrew. When our conversation picks up, John asks Chris what he sees himself doing in the next 5 to 10 years. About 5 minutes later, we were joined by the evening's host, Kevin Seal, the host of the Pandora Presents podcast, and Chris McGrew's bandmate, Ing Griddle.
I wanted to ask you, 5 or 10 years ago, when you were a musician first, and you've gotten yourself what seems to be a pretty good gig with video, and you're getting a certain name for yourself within your musician realm and within your video realm, what do you see yourself doing 5 or 10 years from now?
Turned out that people don't really want to be
says, oh, you like this? Well, 10,000 other people also who like this might like this, and they also like these other things that you like, so...
And to speak to what Kevin was saying...
Okay, go ahead. I understand. Thank you so much.
As a marketing tool, but actually as an artist, it kind of disheartens me a little bit.
Thank you for listening to this special Technology and the Arts podcast. John and I would like to thank John S. James, Chris McGrew, and Kevin Seal for joining us. We would also like to thank the Urban Saloon, Bud Select, and especially Pandora for a really good time. Stay tuned for more news and resources related to technology and the arts when John Lemazny and I return for the final regular podcast of 2007 on December 19th. So until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly. Take care. The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.